Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the podcast. Howell and Jamie here with the Boxhead Pod on tonight's podcast. So much stuff, but especially massive amounts of jet lag from me. I'll be making less sense than I normally do because I've been to exciting places and seen exciting things. And now I'm back with this bunch. We've got Jamie on as usual, and we've got Mel joining us from Kansas City. Is it Kansas City?
No. It's near Kansas City.
Okay. All right. I've been to a beautiful American city, Hermosa Beach, which I believe is a city in itself. I'm not sure. I think it calls itself a city. But it's certainly L.A., but not the smoggy L.A. that I've experienced before. A beautiful Californian beach like you've seen on TV your entire life. The Baywatch Beach. Chuck was filmed there. So many other things, and including what we're going to discuss tonight, which is the Gilmore Girls, chosen by Mel.
Yes.
Watched by me and Jamie, and maybe some other podcast some other Box Set Pod stars as well as we go along. But Mel, have you ever been to Hermosa Beach?
I have.
Oh, how nice.
It's gorgeous.
Isn't it? I mean, yes. I take back everything I said about LA, because, like, there was no smog.
Yeah,
it's just it's a beautiful beach, and then you look back from the sea, and you can see where all, like, the designers of Hollywood get influenced by in terms of sci-fi and futuristic films. Because, I mean, LA is a massive dump of a town. It's like you've got this beautiful beach coastline, and then behind it, as far as the eye can see, it's like industrial zone, big power plants up and down the coast, one of which some Chuck has filmed at, I believe. Mm-hmm. You really see the attraction of LA when you go somewhere like that. And if I had $12 million, I would buy myself a small condo on that beach.
You think that would do it? You think that's enough?
I think it is. Yeah, I was having a look when I was there. But this is like, you know when you go in Hollister, Jamie, and you have like the boarded floors and the smell of vanilla in the air. That's what it's like. It's like the hotel we stayed at, right on the beach, with all, you know, wooden walls, and it's just really, really beautiful place that you realize that, like, all the things you've ever watched that are based in California, that this is the place they were all based at. You've come to, you know, you're not in Hollister, you're in the place that Hollister designed itself to look like. And It's a new jewel that I'm looking forward to going back to, I think.
Is that the Sunset Beach was set there, was it?
Yeah, have you just been Googling it?
Yeah, because, well, I've been Googling Sunset. Remember Sunset Beach, the TV show?
Which, what was
it? It was like a soap opera in the 90s. It was awful, but it looked gorgeous when it was filmed. Mm. I always remember looking at the filming of it and thinking, wow. Yeah. That looks great.
Yeah, yeah. And Baywatch just down the way from there, on Venice Beach, a bit further down. There's just like a massive list of things that have been filmed there that you've seen all your life, and you find yourself there. It's great. Mel was in a place just down the coast from there by about an hour, which is San Diego at Comic-Con. How was Comic-Con, Mel?
It was fantastic. This was my 9th year.
Wow.
One of my best, I have to say.
How many sexy people are walking around in spandex? That's what I want to know.
Sexy people or people?
Okay, people.
A lot.
What percentage of those people are the ones seen in photos as sexy superheroes?
I You know, honestly, I'm trying to think. This year, there wasn't quite as much spandex.
Wow.
Really?
Now that I'm thinking about it, there wasn't, because it was a lot more, I mean, there were a lot of Ghostbusters cosplay, new Ghostbusters. One of my friends actually has been all over in the, you know, those galleries featuring cosplayers, and she's kind of freaking out about it. The director of the movie even retweeted her photo and said they nailed it.
Wow.
Yeah, her hand was shaking when she showed me that on her phone. Really cute. But yeah, so there was a lot of Ghostbusters and Game of Thrones and, you know, things where you're actually pretty covered up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Good. And yeah. Was there much debate about, like, before Ghostbusters was released, apparently, the male chauvinist of the world destroyed it, like... Didn't Flickster and places had to shut down their algorithm measuring because people were reviewing the film before they'd even watched it. Just angry men saying, how dare they make a Ghostbusters with women? How does this still exist?
There's been some horrible abuse, especially thrown at one of the black actresses in the the new film.
Leslie Jones. Sexist and racist.
And on Twitter, she sort of posted some of the things that she'd been sent, and it was like, oh, my God, it is horrendous. Mm-hmm. It's like, and so finally, Twitter have stepped in and closed some of these just offensive, racist, and really, like, threatening accounts. And you just think Twitter need to take a bigger stance and really do more, because, like, you should be allowed to just get away with that.
You get shut down for showing a nipple, but call somebody a racist slur and we're not going to do anything.
Oh, is that right? Mm-hmm. Do you get shut down for pornographic images on Twitter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, well, because I was about to make the alternative argument. I'd quite like the idea that people can be exposed as douchebags. So I'm not against, in theory, the complete liberalisation of things like that. But if you've got one rule for nipples and another for dickheads, then...
and I think also, like, you got to remember from a celebrity who's, like, got, you know, a lot of exposure and millions maybe of followers, to just get, like, a barrage of, like, hundreds of thousands of racist posts sent to you at once, as much as you must try and ignore it. Like, I was trying to think, well, can't you turn away from it? But some of the things that were sent to her, you can't just brush aside as, like, just... the idiots of the world, because it's so horrible. And I'm glad that she made a stand. Good on her. It's a shame, though, that the film's not very good.
Oh, no.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, no.
I watched it with my wife, and my wife liked it. She thought it was really good.
Right.
But I didn't laugh, like, more than maybe twice in the whole film.
Really?
And the thing is, because it's a reimagining of the original Ghostbusters film, it's not like it's a sequel. Mm. It's a reimagining of it.
Wow. And have you watched it, Mel?
I have not. I don't think I've actually seen the original Ghostbusters in its entirety.
Really?
What?
I don't think I have. I think I've seen bits and pieces over the years, but I don't know that I've ever actually sat down and watched the whole thing. It's not really my genre.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. But, Jamie, was it... You see, I had this out with my wife. I am not defending in any way abuse that is sexist or racist, right? I am not.
Mm-hmm.
What I said was that when Hollywood remakes something and it seems like Hollywood, the banker's decision, like the banker goes, we'll remake this and we'll do it in a token way, that would be an awful thing. And to do that, if you did that with anything that people hold dear, from E.T. to anything, that would be a bad decision. If they're doing it because it's a cash cow, then we should dislike that. Hang on a minute, Adam's joining us. Welcome to Adam, the internet department, to the podcast.
I don't really deserve that title, do I?
No, not really. Not at the moment.
I'll be honest, I haven't done much in a while.
Well, we're just talking about Ghostbusters, and I was saying that racist and sexist abuse given towards the cast is a very bad thing. But But
not that, right?
I hope that they didn't.
I'm always relieved to learn that lesson.
Well, I just hope that if you're going to get, like, if you provoke a reaction from humanity over something that's very dear to them, you will get horrific abuse from the worst types of people. Right, everyone will complain. Oh, yeah. Some smart people will complain smartly about it, and some douchebags will say horrible douchebag things. There is a further question beyond that, which is, was Ghostbusters remade for the money, purely for the money? And Jamie, what do you think to that?
I don't know.
Should they have messed with it?
Well, they shouldn't have done it because, unfortunately, you can't help comparing it to that film,
yeah.
And it's nowhere near as good. Like that, I thought if they did a sequel, it might be something more interesting. But because they're sort of referring back constantly to the original film, like there's so many references, you keep thinking I'd rather be watching that film. And it's got great people involved. Like Paul Feig is a great director. I really like Bridesmaids. I really like Heat. I really like Spy. And then he's also one of the writers was Katie Dippold, who's wrote Parks and Rec episodes, and so there's talented people. And then Kirsten Wiig and Melissa McCarthy are brilliant, but like they're just given, there's just no funny in the. It's not funny at all. And
really?
Maybe there are little bits of funny. Maybe I'm a bit harsh. There was some odd funny bits, but when you're looking at it from a Ghostbuster world, you can't help but say this is not very good. And
I mean, I
don't think
I haven't seen it, but is a lot of the snark not from people like us who are purely of that era? For like,
well, yeah, you might be right.
Ghostbusters is sacrosanct, so
he never
stood a chance with us because, as a subject.
Exactly, because Lauren doesn't really care about the original Ghostbusters. In fact, I'm not even sure if she's seen
her.
It. And she loved it. She was like, "Oh, I thought that was really good.
All
right. I really enjoyed
that's
it."
That's probably,
I came out.
Probably the most relevant opinion. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, but maybe you shouldn't you go into this film having watched the other Ghostbusters films? I think you should always go in there. Well, I like the idea of watching all.
It would be nice if it worked for both audiences. It would have been nice if they could have pulled that off, but I don't think you have to have done any particular research before watching
it.
I think you should
research. If there are 30-year-olds who weren't born when the original came out, it's time for that brand to be rebooted and for us just to get over ourselves. And enjoy.
But you know what? Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters film, it's not like The Goonies. It's not like a film where you watch the time and you love and you watch it again and you go, still love it, but I know it's a bit shit. Ghostbusters is a film, if you watch it now, it's a brilliant comedy. And there's no doubt about that. That
you're
is
right.
a fact.
You're absolutely
no
right.
nostalgia.
It probably seems funnier now than when you watched it as a kid and it was just an action film with scary bits in it, you know. It's scary, isn't it?
It
does feel like the train started to leave the station with the original cast members on it and everything, and then Bill Murray pulled out, and this is where it eventually got to, where they went, do you know what, let's do a completely different thing with it. And that's interesting, but it argues against itself almost, Adam, because if the original didn't exist, this film couldn't be there, could it? Do you know what I mean? You don't have to have watched the original, but it sounds to me like what they've done is had fun by mimicking slightly and by playing.
Oh, there's lots of references.
Yeah, playing with the idea.
And there's lots of cameos as well from the original cast, and even all the cameos are rubbish as well. Like they've given Bill Murray a cameo that's not that good, and Dan Aykroyd shows up, and it's just like they aren't even good cameos. Like they could have given them good cameos, and it's just everything doesn't quite work.
Oh well,
nearly works.
I'm still happy to take Lauren's opinion on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and Mel, you really need to watch the original Ghostbusters. How old are you, Mel?
Old enough not to want to tell you how old I am.
Okay, so she's 37?
32.
So I'm going 32.
Who was closest?
I think Mel's younger than me.
I might be the oldest person here.
Wow.
Yep.
Mel's 55.
No, I'm 41.
Are you?
Oh,
I am.
No way.
Mel, if you'd have told me you were 28, I'd have believed it.
Well, thanks.
You've got such a vibrant, youthful voice, Mel. Mm.
You know why?
Because you watched Gilmore Girls on loop.
Because I don't have any children. Sorry,
yeah,
Jamie.
Yeah.
they will suck it right out of you.
Yeah. Do you feel the pressure to have children, Mel?
I did, but people soon learned to quit asking me that question.
Yeah, move on, Howell.
No. I mean, it's not.
The reason I ask you is because
get a lot of pressure. You know, I did get a lot of pressure, but yes. People in my life now know that I'm serious when I say I really don't feel the need to have children. I have 12 nieces and nephews. The gene pool is fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Sarah and I are constantly asked, and you know, at least twice a day, someone goes, "Well, that'll change when you get children." And now that we're married and it's 2 years on, and we're starting to go, oh, Jesus, what is life all about? What's the point in being here? What's the point in working every day and then what, going on holiday every 6 months? Is that it? Is the point holiday? And then look at these two chumps joining us now, one of which has got... how many children you got, Adam? Two children. Just still one. It's you that's got
still
the one. It's Ben that's got
it's
the two.
Me. That's got the one.
You've
you see, that's
one.
The thing. People without children, like, it's... I remember saying this to a friend ages ago who has a kid. He's got, like, a six-year-old boy. And I remember I met him at Christmas, and he was due to have his first child in April that following year. And I remember thinking, like, I was halfway through an evening in pub, and I thought, what a really nice guy he is. It's a shame he's dead to me in 4 months. Like, that's it. But if you have kids, and if you don't have kids and your friends get kids, they just drop off the world and that's it.
They've already dropped off.
And it's only once you're on the other side, you think, you know, you got to keep throwing those life belts out to the poor people with children. Solidarity. We will come round and see you at least once a year when your child is born, Jamie.
That's what you guys think. You think Jamie's left
Hal's
the house?
Hal's never been to my house.
You think Jamie's left the house to meet anybody in the last 6 months?
No, Jamie's actually
years,
a special case.
6 years.
Say the truth, I was looking forward to using the child as an excuse not to go anywhere.
Yeah, well, you've already got every excuse.
What have you been using so far?
This is a very valid point.
Maybe
I don't know how to answer it.
Maybe the birth of
the
this
child's
child.
Going to reverse it. You're going to become a social butterfly now.
Yeah, suddenly Jamie's going to want to leave the house all the time.
Yes.
Oh, I don't like any DVDs. No, I'm not into box sets. I'm going to go out and live.
I don't know if Mel's found this, but that is the other problem, is that everybody either pairs off and gets busy, or they have children and get even more busy. And then you find yourself, like, in just... just boredomville, really, and you go, oh, wouldn't I? Do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to live on a Hermosa beach and, like the Gilmore Girls, go and sit and have coffee at 10 o'clock at night because I've got nothing else to do with my life. That would be good. That
and
would
talk
be exciting.
20 miles an hour, 20 miles a minute.
If you want to be kept up at night, then children really is a way to go for you.
Really, Howell. I mean,
yeah, true.
Yeah. If you want to be drinking coffee at 10 p.m., I think kids are in your future.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on from that subject and on to... Jamie, have you got any news to deliver to us?
I can do some quick bits. Just the new Sherlock trailer. It was obviously premiered at Comic-Con. I'm sure you were there for that, Mel.
I was.
And it looked enticingly dark and obviously hinted at the potential return of Moriarty as well. What did you think of the trailer, Mel?
I'm glad they showed it twice, because the first time I was just so giddy to be seeing new Sherlock that I didn't really comprehend what I was seeing. But it does. Yeah, it looks really dark. It looks like we're going to be seeing consequences. It looks like we're maybe beyond the fan service of a couple of the episodes. And we're back into the meaty nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I do hope so, because it did feel a little bit like it was becoming just a, you know, a draw, just a story about a relationship between two men.
Boring. I haven't watched it since season one. No, I have, but I haven't watched the last one.
The Abominable Bride.
Yeah.
Don't watch you. You'd hate. You'll hate
the Christmas
last
special
one.
Or the last last vow.
I think the Christmas special.
It's really good.
Is it?
It's kind of twisted.
I want to follow a case.
Well, I wouldn't watch that one then. I mean,
yeah. Well.
In other news, do you want to mention on Netflix the last couple of weeks, Stranger Things was released. Have you watched Stranger Things?
Yes.
There's been a hive of chatter in the box set community about this.
Oh my word,
guys! It's really good.
It's bloody brilliant. It's only 8 episodes. It's like it could easily come across as like a gimmicky homage to like 80s cinema because it's very influenced by Spielberg and Carpenter films and Ridley Scott's The Alien, stuff like that. It's got a lot of 80s influences, but it's really compelling, brilliant. Just brilliant, like supernatural thriller, and you've got to watch it. I couldn't recommend it highly enough. The good news is that they're going to do a season 2. Executive producer and director Sean Levy has confirmed that, and also I've added a video onto there that shows all the references made to 70s and 80s movies in the show. Once you've watched it, check that out, and you can see what films that it was playing on, because you do find yourself watching the show and going, oh, what's this from? I can tell this is from another film. It's really well done. The Goonies is referenced. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of stuff. It's a really good show. It could have been a bit of a gimmick, but it's really well done. You've got to watch it.
Have we got a plan for next week at the moment?
No, we could do Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Yes.
We should definitely do that, because if you two both haven't watched it, we'll do that.
Set aside 8 hours, guys.
Okay.
Just mark it off your calendar, because you're not going to be able to watch just the first episode.
Okay, Stranger Things next week. Mm-hmm. Our work experience boy, Jack, is this week lying on a beach somewhere. Let's catch up with him, see if he's watched the Gilmore Girls, and then whether he has or hasn't, we'll discuss it.
Can Jamie do a jingle for Jack's travel updates?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
God, this is a new feature for us.
Okay, jingle time, here we go. Off the top of the head, here we go. Time for Jack's time, travelling around the world. Comments from Jackie Boardman.
There was no mention of ducks.
It wasn't your best jingle that you've ever done.
To tell you the truth, sometimes I need a good 5 hours in the studio before I knock my efforts out. It happens. Sometimes the magic happens, sometimes the magic doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, it was fairly magical. It was Harry Potter 1.
Oh, no. That's a real insult. Jesus.
I just got the play today.
Did you? Did you?
I'm hiding it from myself because I'm on deadline, so I cannot read it yet.
That's exciting. I saw that on sale in America. I almost bought it. Okay. Well, Jack was trying to get us, and now I'm trying to get Jack.
Hello?
Oh, here he is. Jack's here.
Hey. From Croatia.
Greetings from Croatia. Where are you, Jack? Croatia, generally?
I'm in Zadar in Croatia, just on the coast.
Oh. Zadar.
Anywhere near a place called Revenge?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Zadar and Revenge. Where do you get Revenge from, Jamie?
That's where I've been to Revenge. It's on the coast as well. I went to a gay bar there.
Excellent. Okay. Well, that's another story for another time. Jack, are you on the beach right now?
Well, I didn't actually realise when I told you that I was going to be on a beach that they don't know what beaches are in Croatia, because they've pavemented all of the sand and now it's all cobbles by the beach.
Yeah, they're rubbish beaches.
Really?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, no joke.
They've cobbled the beach.
Yeah, so one moment you're walking on cobbles and the next moment you're in the sea. There's no in between.
Oh, that's horrible.
Madness.
Are they actually cobbled it, or is it just a pebble beach?
They've gone there. Yeah, they've gone there with like a cement mixer and genuinely got rid of the sand.
Wow. Well, it solves the sand issue, I suppose.
Sand is one of the worst elements of beaches, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Thought that.
It's uncomfortable to sunbathe on, though.
So what can you...
I would imagine.
What can you see, Jack? Are you in the hotel room now?
Well, yeah, we're in the apartment room. I'm just looking out over a busy street in Croatia full of tourists and shoppers.
Nice. No ducks?
No ducks.
A shame. And have you watched the Gilmore Girls?
Nope, not watched the Gilmore Girls.
Brilliant.
I'm afraid.
So that's Adam and Jack, two that did turn up, both completely useless. This is competing as one of the least focused podcasts that we've done in a long time, and that's quite a competition. Jack, have you got anything useful to add to the discussion?
Well, I did up until about 15 minutes ago.
Why?
All week I've been getting really, really angry at Jamie because of the Bob's Burgers being second in the list of the top 10 things of 2016, because I thought that I'd watched it. It turns out I haven't watched Bob's Burgers. I've watched Border Town instead on ITV2. So all week I've been saying, just absolutely livid, that it's number two. And now I've realised that I've not even watched the damn thing. And I'm just annoyed about nothing. And it's Border Town.
So were you livid because you think it should be quiet?
Yeah, I was livid because Border Town's just rubbish. It's got 4.8 on IMDb, and it's just a load of garbage.
Oh right. Well,
what even is it?
It's the new one from the Family Guy makers, and it's set in it was kind of
a border
New Mexico
town. Got
and
it.
There's one house by quite a right wing racist family man, and next door is the Mexican family, including illegal immigrants, and it's how they get on with each other. I watched the first episode on the plane flying over to America. I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite good, Jack.
Oh, God. All week,
Jenny, is it a documentary
in my head?
It's very like Family Guy. You can imagine Family Guy doing that situation, can't you? It's exactly what you'd imagine, really.
All week, I just thought I'd lost complete respect for Jamie and
because you'd imagined the wrong program. I mean, Border Town doesn't even sound like Bob's Burgers.
Well, I just knew it began with a B.
Wow.
Good investigative work there, Jack.
Yeah.
Instead of that, it's 15 minutes
before. It's been over for a new series of Blackadder.
Come on here.
Yeah. And there was a wild Tuesday when he thought it was Boardwalk Empire. Well, Jack,
but you used the phrase complete respect for Jamie, which suggests that you actually had complete respect for Jamie.
Should we say goodbye to Jack?
Yeah, you can. I'm going to go and drink some Croatian beer, I think.
That's a good idea. All right, Jack. Well, you hang yourself up and say goodbye. Adam, should we say goodbye to you as well?
I've just remembered my Croatia story. I went to Croatia once and walked onto the set of Game of Thrones season 2.
It would have been that's a good story. Why didn't you leave?
I should have done. My content is all messed up. They were filming it in Dubrovnik. I think it's is it King's Landing that's just basically Dubrovnik Old Town.
Really?
Last time we were there.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. That's good
how
stuff
exciting.
To know.
Yeah. And they had in the village we were staying in, they just had sort of little notice boards with Game of Thrones logos on them, and it just said had to pull off a little number if you wanted to go and be an extra.
Wow.
Really?
Adam has just proved entirely useful when we didn't expect he would be, because that's a good story, and it's reminded me of something that I've forgotten to say. So we'll get on to Gilmore Girls in just less than 120 seconds.
Never going to get on to Gilmore Girls.
Less than 120 seconds, I promise.
I feel like we shouldn't now. I feel like we should
get on
to Gilmore Girls.
The ironic thing is that this conversation could have been in Gilmore Girls, and it would have fit perfectly.
There you go. I made a recording especially for this box set pod in Las Vegas. Why? Because something significant is happening in Las Vegas. Let me play it for you. Welcome to the Box Set Pod in Vegas. Just walking through the Golden Nugget Casino. On my left is Gremlins, the gambling machine. Further down on my left is House of Cards, the gambling machine. What else we got? The Walking Dead gambling machine on my right. Ghostbusters on my right. Orange is the New Black, right next to the Hangover movie trilogy gambling machines. Orange is the New Black has got a branded gambling machine in Vegas. And there are more. Wonder Woman is over there. Batman and Robin. All right, let's put that, stretching it. What's that one over there with, what's her name on? it's just the Wheel of Fortune. Still, the Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, my God.
There you go. Just, and that is a live, what, 1 minute walkthrough of what we can see just here. So,
that was that much sort of less interesting.
You get on TrustedVegas.com.
How is that not interesting to the box set pod?
Compared to Adam's story, that was heinous.
Hang on a minute.
That Vegas was just you listing a bunch of gambling machines.
Yes, but they're all box sets.
You could have been in a certain... No, two of them were box sets, at most.
Excuse me? Do you want
the
to listen to it
well
again?
The rest of them were well-established... Oh, God, no. No, don't do that to us or all the listeners we have left.
Game of Thrones, right, has got a... I'm not sure if I mentioned that. Game of Thrones...
You didn't say Game of Thrones.
Walking Dead.
You said House of Cards and The Walking Dead.
Orange is the New Black. Films. Are you not amazed? Okay. The Orange is the New Black has sponsored or they, has a gambling machine in Vegas.
What was on the reels? What like what did you win? Was it still like you had to get like three bells or was it like three shivs?
Exactly.
Disguised as a tampon.
It's that kind of stuff. But these things are like huge, complex computer game things. They're not like little spinning sevens. They're massive million-dollar undertakings, each machine. And the significance is that, you know, having gone to Vegas for years, right now the whole of Vegas is awash with box-set-themed gambling machines.
Yeah, but maybe you just need to say that in a one sentence line rather than go into a live report from you in a casino.
Breaking
news, they've added a Game of Thrones machine.
There are so many of them. There are so many of them that
you
if you go
to say that the
live
franchise is being franchised.
No! Doing a live walkthrough, I thought, would illustrate how many there are of them. It's not if I just went, oh, in Vegas I saw these six gambling machines. Well, Vegas is massive. That's just 1 minute walk through one casino. That's how many I saw, right? And there's shed loads more. So these programs are licensing. They're selling the license of their stuff as gambling machines. You could probably fund at least three episodes of a new series using purely the proceeds from that gambling machine. This is why I think it's relevant.
That would actually be cool.
Well, this is why I think it's relevant. And where do we stand on that? Does Orange is the New Black, what looks like quite a socially conscious show, has no problem with turning itself into a gambling machine? And Tyrion Lannister has done all the voices. You know, the dude who, what's his name? Peter Dinklage has recorded loads of liners with his voice on the Game of Thrones machine going, "Welcome, I see you've turned up to play." And you know, if you get a bonus feature, it's like, "You're going to see Daenerys." And it's like, the actors are paid to do this stuff. They're paid.
I actually think listening to you play that game would have been a better, like,
oh, I mean, can we move on from...
I want to hear that licensed material.
Let's move on.
I want to hear the journey of that.
From the recording...
Go back to Vegas.
Let's move on from critiquing the recording to what the recording was trying to show.
This is a podcast all about critiquing media content, isn't it?
I'll tell you, after the first episode of that recording, Howell, I will not be watching the remaining episodes.
That was a poor pilot.
Yeah.
If anybody thinks, if anybody else is remotely surprised that Vegas is covered with box sets as gambling machines, as computer games that make lots of money out of people, then email me, studio@theboxsetpod.com. How is no one surprised by this?
How are you surprised?
Because game shows appear. Deal or No Deal, I get it. Wheel of Fortune, I get it. Orange is the New Black and House of Cards...
I have a picture of the Lord of the Rings gambling machine with my Harry Potter figurine standing on it.
Even Lord of the Rings is slightly understandable, but we're talking Netflix
Lord
only.
Of the Rings is understandable?
Well, that's a massive movie, right? I know Netflix is big, but this is Netflix-only produced stuff, right? This is Orange is the New Black, House of Cards.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those two are surprising, I suppose, yeah.
Would you not?
I don't think
I wouldn't expect them to have made that, crossed that bridge into gambling land, you know?
Oh, they're looking all forms of revenue, all streams. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
This is America.
They're on par with HBO now.
But if I told you there was a website, if Kevin Spacey popped up on a TV advert and said, win up to £80,000 by playing House of Cards Vegas.com, and it's a gambling site, you'd think, what the fuck are you doing?
No.
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 Yeah, that would be creepy.
Okay. I mean, I'd probably smirk at it a little bit, but I wouldn't be surprised. Were you guys not as inundated with all of this stuff over there?
No. This would be very, very odd if it was announced that Doctor Who had a gambling machine, and I'm sure that they've been approached by it. Well, I didn't see it.
There must be one, though.
Well, I would have seen it.
I'll bet there's Doctor Who. Yeah, that's a huge sort of licensed franchise thing, man.
I would have seen it. I would have seen it, 100%.
You examine every single one.
Believe me, I spent 9 days in Vegas and I lost a lot of money on things like the House of Cards gambling machine. So I'm not against the morals. I'm saying other people do have morals. Not me, but other people have morals. And I don't think the BBC would ever allow that.
What I thought you were going to say earlier, actually, what would be interesting, if that actually was, like you said, one of those machines could fund a few episodes.
Yeah.
What if it was like a Kickstarter, like
right.
a GoFundMe
yeah.
machine?
What?
And you were actually putting money in. Because if you go online, you give money to a show and it gives you back a degree of reward. You get a credit, or you get sent a mug, or if you spend however much, you get to come and spend a day on set or something like that.
I think a machine that said the words fund me on it would get the least bums on its seat
if it was a Firefly themed machine.
Yeah, Mel
going directly to Joss Whedon's bank account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you knew you were going to spend more than you got back.
You don't know
but
that.
But you were going to contribute.
Well, you've just described what exists.
Season.
Yeah, you've just
but
described it.
I don't know, flashing. Yeah.
That's what's happening. That is what's happening. And I think it's absolutely fascinating that that is happening, and there was absolutely zero BBC machines that did that, and I think that's why this is an interesting thing, because in Britain the Daily Mail and other publications would rip apart any gambling machine with a BBC logo on it. It would be absolutely burnt down. So yeah, there you go, new revenue stream that hasn't been there before.
Was there a Gilmore Girls one?
No, there wasn't.
I doubt it.
No,
yeah.
No.
Segue, Jamie. Not... Get this back on
track. Yeah,
try my best.
Mel has just met Joss Whedon, by the way, at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Just thought I would share that.
Mel has just sent us a picture. Awesome. I can't open it right now, but but Adam should put it on the website.
Okay.
Gilmore Girls. Oh, I can't believe I just had to sell all of that. So, okay.
Yeah, thanks, Howell.
If we weren't just such a bunch of tossers, that would have taken 2 minutes.
Yes, massively.
And we would have been done.
Okay. There's been an,
he's not going to learn unless been, we teach him.
There's been a few funky themed things there before, but this year there's an explosion of box set things. An explosion. And I think that it's very interesting. Just me, Mel, Gilmore Girls. I watched the first episode today. Jamie, give us the background. When was this released? What is it? What's the context?
Well, having watched one episode, it's it was made in 2000, I think it started. The writer of it, creator of it, was actually the person, a lady called Amy Sherman Palladino. Originally, she was one of the main writers of Roseanne. And so, which you can see in the first episode, it's very, very funny. You can see there's a lot of comedy in there, and it centres around a single mum bringing up her daughter in a small town. She seems to have rich parents, but she doesn't want anything to do with the rich parents. She doesn't want them to help them, help with bringing a daughter up. And that's kind of the premise from what I got from the first episode.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you think of the first episode? What did you expect and what did you get, Jamie?
I'd say I got pretty much what I expected, but maybe a bit more. I didn't expect it to be, it's funnier than I thought it would be. Like, I think that it's, I thought it would be a little bit weak, sort of, a bit like a lot of those other sort of middle of the road kind of teeny drama kind of things, a bit like The OC, a bit like, what's the other one? Can't remember. A bit like Dawson's Creek.
My So-Called Life.
Yeah, something like that. But it's actually a bit funnier than I originally thought it would be. And for a pilot episode, I thought it was pretty good. It's dated, obviously. It's made in 2000, so the soundtrack sounds very dated.
The Lars kicked us off with There She Goes. The Lars with There She Goes. And also ended with... and Macy Gray, I Try, was in there. Very much set it in the early 2000s, didn't it?
Yeah.
Good songs, though. I mean, both songs have stood the test of time. I will say they made some good choices back then. I enjoyed it. Will you be watching a second episode, Jamie?
I think I probably will. The thing is,
it's carrying not something on with that's Chuck, yeah, like that.
I think I'm more likely to give this a go than Chuck, and I think
really,
Jesus,
yeah, in some respects. Because I thought it was more of an enjoyable little world to enter. My only issue with it is that I don't feel compelled to carry on, but I feel like if I stuck with it a bit, I'd probably get into it more than I did with Chuck, which I did give Chuck a go, by the way.
No, you didn't.
Gave it a good 5 episodes.
No. Let's not get onto that. Just get on with it.
No.
Just get on with it. Chuck is completely different from this. It's got its own little world, but that's what I enjoyed as well. Was going watching the Gilmore Girls reminded me of watching something like Northern Exposure, or going to Disney World, or going to Martha's Vineyard. If anyone's ever been to Martha's Vineyard, where Jaws was filmed, a lot like Jaws, in fact, where, like Jamie said, there's a small world, there's a community that's very idealistic, and picket fences, and you know the town square is right next to the house, and everything's 3 steps away, and people go past on the back of hay lorries, and it's a world without most of reality, most of the harshness of reality in it. Despite that, I thought it was really nice. Like the mother-daughter relationship, the pressure between them and stuff was really well done, and it wasn't as twee. You don't look back at it and go, oh, this is bad. It was actually quite nice, and I was with it. I imagined Mel watching it. In fact, I feel like Mel's probably modelled her entire self and life on these people. Is that accurate?
No.
Is this the world you imagine yourself?
I wish I lived in an idyllic small town in Connecticut with that gazebo that is perpetually decorated for the latest little festival. Yeah. But no, I don't like coffee, so I mean, that's a fundamental core element of both of these characters.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I've already failed.
Okay. Excited to see Melissa McCarthy in it. I was like, whoa.
Yes.
I had no idea she did anything before being Melissa McCarthy, and it turns out she did. And I find her character not quite as good as it perhaps should be. It's a little bit silly in a bad way.
It gets better.
Yeah, I imagine it does. But well done her for making a Hollywood career out of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it was. I think I will. It was like I've got severe jet lag today, severe jet lag, and I really expected 10 minutes in that I was going to be asleep by 20 minutes, but there was enough there to keep me going. And
well, I feel though like I need you, Mel, to convinced me to continue, because I feel like I could continue, but I'm going to need a little push in the right direction here.
I was going to say, man, this sort of normal court setup we have with a champion for a program and some kind of testers, people trying it. Yeah, yeah. Like, you two have both watched the Gilmore Girls and gone, oh, yeah, I'll carry on.
I know.
Matt's not had to say a word.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Adam.
This might be the best thing ever by the sounds of it. So.
Well, see, Adam, you missed your chance. The window is closed. And
it's possible, Adam.
I'm not allowed in your Gilmore gang now.
No, you're not.
Oh, no. You're mean girls.
It's possible that Adam is here at the right time then, again, because that is what I expected. I put it this way. Having ripped iZombie a new one in front of Tiernan on the last podcast, and I did feel bad about that, but it wouldn't have stopped me ripping Gilmore Girls a new one, and I liked it a lot more than iZombie.
Here's the thing with Gilmore Girls, I think, that catches so many people off guard is that you go into it and you're expecting this, you know, this mother-daughter drama kind of angsty, how am I going to relate to this, especially if you're not a mother or a daughter. And it turns out to be this quite charming, full of bite comedy drama with these really engaging and compelling main characters. And then obviously this is the pilot, so we're just getting to really know Rory and Lorelai, but a lot of those peripheral characters that you met, Paris, you haven't met her yet.
No.
You meet her in episode 2.
To be honest, I wouldn't know the names if you said them.
So. Yeah, but like Melissa McCarthy's character, the Frenchman who works at the inn.
Yeah.
A lot of these other characters, Lorelai's parents, Rory's grandparents, they get really, really fleshed out as the series goes on. And that's one of the remarkable things about the series is that even these really peripheral characters end up with backstories and their own quirks, and they just all come together to create this ensemble that is quite fun to watch.
Yeah. I think that it's very middle-class problems. I mean, the things that they, you know, having a mother that doesn't positively reinforce you enough is still quite a, although it's a real problem, it's still quite a, I suppose, a twee problem. It's still very mainstream, this book. But I'll tell you what,
as you get into, I know that's how they've kind of set it up here, as the series progresses, you really get, I mean, there's some flat out fights that happen at these Friday night dinners and in between. The tension between Lorelai and her mother in particular, but also Lorelai and her father. Later on, Rory and Lorelai have quite a falling out.
Okay.
And well, I mean, it's not just poor little rich kid.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to really enjoy putting it on because, you know, like, I like things like The West Wing and Chuck, in fact, but the West Wing included, they belong to such well-drawn worlds, such nice worlds to get lost in, that this definitely goes in that for me. It's like a really nice place to visit.
I will warn you, the second episode is where you actually go to Chilton and you meet that, and, you know, the characters that are in that environment. And it's a little, it's going to hit you a little more Dawson's Creek.
Oh, okay.
Just, okay. You need that setup. You need to meet those characters because...
You know what's nice, though? Dawson's Creek and the teen movies and stuff, they had no space in them. You know, like Northern Exposure and those slightly more grown-up things, those 90s things, before everything was completely packed with sentiment, emotion or drama. I really liked this because it wasn't like every minute there wasn't tears, and it really was kind of the atmosphere of the place was built. And yeah, we're talking about something that I think I 50% of my enjoyment of this was because it reminded me of things that I watched when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. You know, but the better stuff that I watched when I was a teenager.
Yeah, I think Northern Exposure is quite a really good sort of example of the kind of show it felt like, and I can't fault it. Like I actually, other than like being a bit dated, and sometimes a bit cheesy.
Oh yeah.
I really liked the first episode. It's not necessarily a show that I would at this point get that interested in. But you've done a very good sell, Mel. You've done a very good sell.
I mean, we haven't even gotten to the pop culture references, the fact that these women eat the worst food. They are junk food addicts.
Yeah, and they made a thing about that.
Quite unapologetic about it. That's a constant throughout all seven seasons.
That's such a female thing to be of interest, though, because for me it was like these two women are in a cafe and the bartender guy is going, you really shouldn't be drinking as much coffee. It's not good for you. You shouldn't be eating these chili fries. Well, they're really not good for you. And I'm like...
Luke is
he's going to be important.
Clean foods, you know, no caffeine.
Yeah, right.
Your body is a temple, which is part of the irony.
I see. Well, you know, it didn't bother me at all. I thought, oh, give him a break, bloody hell. But I did think that it's from a female perspective as well. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really good thing. Being in the, you know, around this time, we had Sex in the City, which was so, for me, just so offensively, like, oh, women should be vacuous pricks. Women should be as dickish as men. And then this show is, like, two actually well-drawn, interesting female characters and some nasty women and some good women. And the majority of the parts, believe it or not, are girls.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, when I watched the first episode, I was like, oh, I was surprised that it was kind of as funnier than I thought it would be. And I wanted to know more then about it. And that's why it doesn't surprise me that the creator of the show was behind Roseanne, one of the writers of Roseanne. Mm-hmm. Because it has that Roseanne, that the humour, you can really feel like a female voice with a real wit, and it's really well done in that respect.
So much softer than Roseanne felt, but you can definitely feel that. Yeah,
it's got the bite.
It's got the soul in there. Something that's been made with some integrity, I think.
Wait till you see Rory standing up for herself.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, she encounters some obstacles that you probably... I really like the way that they handle this, you know, her going to this elite school, and obviously it's going to be full of people who are as smart or smarter than her and ambitious, and the way that they set up some of the conflict there is maybe not what you would expect.
Okay.
So that's...
I'll tell you what else I noticed. A lot of the humor was very 90s in its sarcasm as well. Like, there's a lot of that 90s American humor, which, you know, reminded me of Mel as well, actually.
Oh, yeah? Is my humor stuck in the 90s? Is that what you're
You think so?
Need to update that?
I just think that you've been heavily influenced by the Gilmore Girls to a degree that you're unaware of at the moment, the point that you're in denial. Yeah.
It's possible. My mother and I watched it together every week.
Ah, isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? Yeah.
Our relationship is nothing like theirs.
Again, if everybody who watched Sex in the City watched this instead, I would be very happy with the world, I think. Anyway.
Counterpoint.
So thanks, Mel. That was a good one. Good one, Gilmore Girls.
I'm so pleased to find out that you guys enjoyed it. I was expecting you to be like, yeah, I couldn't relate. I didn't.
Take a listen to iZombie with Tin and Dweeb.
Yeah, I did feel like we were a bit brutal on iZombie in hindsight. I look back and go, especially you, Howard, you went to town on him. I mean,
I even had to trim a little bit out of me being cruel because it just sounded so cruel. I expected Tin and being a stand-up comic that he'd be able to just take it all on the chin. And then
I think he did, really, but, you know, took a loss.
I think it, right.
No, have we heard from Tiernan since then?
Yeah, I was thinking.
No, not heard from him.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody should check on him.
I think, then, that next week...
Stranger Things,
which we should get on. If you've got opinions on anything, you can email them to us. That was a meaty podcast today. It's nice to be back. studio@theboxsetpod.com.
Thank you.
it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.